This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Thursday, February 25th, 2010. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Beau Bennett.
And my name is Ryan Levesque.
And we are your hosts for this show. We have a very interesting show today, not that we never do, but this one happens to be something that that I feel very close to personally. Hey, Ryan, do you remember I told you about that time when I gave that speech at one of my local Toastmasters clubs about public speaking?
Yes.
And this was like my, oh geez, probably 100th speech for Toastmasters. Right. I mean, okay, maybe 50th or something, but I've given a lot of speeches before, and I felt like, you know, it wasn't even a concern. I didn't even think about being nervous for this speech. It was a small Toastmasters club. Maybe they had 25 people, they had some guests there, but it was nothing big. I mean, it was just so casual. And I was actually fine going into it. And then something happened. It was when I was up there, my mind started thinking about, oh my goodness, I am speaking on public speaking. What if I mess up? What if I'm not good? And my mind went on this tangent, and I just started crashing big time. Fortunately, I recovered, but it was pretty embarrassing, and it was something I'm never going to forget. But it's good to know when I read articles like the article written by our next guest, it's good to know that other people go through this as well, and it's not just me.
Right. Even if you are an experienced Toastmaster and an experienced speaker.
That's right. So, Ryan, who are we going to be speaking with that is going to help me?
We are going to be speaking today with Karen Twitchell. Karen is an advanced communicator silver. She's an author and professional speaker, a member of the Rancho Speechmasters Club in Rancho Santa Margarita, California. And she also is the author of an article entitled Stage Fright, Why Now? In the January 2010 issue of the Toastmaster magazine.
Well, let's give her a call, get her on the line, and start talking Toastmasters with her.
Let's do it.
Hello? Hello, is this Karen?
Yes, it is.
Karen, hello. Beau Bennett and Ryan Levesque from the Toastmasters podcast. How are you?
Hi, Karen.
I'm great. Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Likewise, likewise. Karen, I want to start off by asking you a little bit about the experience that you shared in the Toastmaster magazine. And you shared a very personal experience. You're an experienced Toastmaster, you're a professional speaker. And one day you woke up, you were scheduled to give a speech that day. It was a speech you'd given several times a month over a period of 5 years. And for some reason, something was different when you woke up on this particular morning. You want to share with our listeners what were some of the things you were experiencing physically, emotionally, mentally that weren't what you were used to on a typical speech day?
Sure. Physically, I was jittery. My stomach felt like it was full of butterflies, and my heart rate was clearly accelerated. And as you say, you know, this usually happens just before going on stage and not hours before the stage time is meant to occur. And while I was very excited about this event, and emotionally I was looking forward to seeing friends that I hadn't seen in a long time, but what I found myself doing was worrying about little things like the videographer and the room setup and the centerpieces, all of those things which were not my responsibility.
Huh. Now, before we get into how you dealt with that, just so our listeners have an idea, how long had it been for you, say, the last time you'd had this degree of anxiety going into a speech? Had it been months, years? What would you say?
Well, on a professional level, it had certainly been years. I would say 3 years since I had experienced this. But from time to time in a Toastmaster environment where I'm always stretching to get out of my comfort zone, I've experienced some level of stage fright from time to time and still do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so good to know that that is still normal, even for an experienced speaker.
Right.
Definitely.
Isn't it funny how we tend to worry about everything when we're up there, all those little things. And like you said, even though we really have no control, it's not our responsibility, it still will affect your speech in some way. So you tend to worry about it. It's those type of things that we just kind of have to move to the back of our mind and forget and just concentrate on the fact that we're there to deliver a message.
Karen, you started experiencing anxiety well before you came on stage. What were some of the techniques that you used to deal with the anxiety in the hours leading up to your presentation?
Yes, what I did was I just simply reminded myself that the videographer was a professional that I had worked with before, and I knew that he would do his own job, and that having friends in the audience was a good thing, not a negative thing. And I also reminded myself that I clearly knew the room, I clearly knew the audience, and I knew my message backwards and forwards. So in reality, I really did have things under control.
Now, Karen, when you say you reminded yourself of these things, how did you do this? Was this some kind of form of meditation, or is it just a little self-talk, or were you just pretty much just thinking about it, just having these thoughts in your mind as you were speaking or before you were speaking?
It was really self-talk as I was driving to the event, and I was going over each thing that was bothering me in my own mind. I just worked my way through it as though I were having a conversation with someone else in the car saying, well, why am I worrying about that? I know it's under control.
That's a good idea. Did you make a list, like a written list of the things that you were nervous about or concerned about or worried about, or is it just a mental list?
Just a mental list.
Okay. I know for me, it always helps me to write things down so I don't forget. Maybe that'll help for some people. Who knows?
Yeah.
And Karen, I know you were also listening to the radio and singing at the top of your lungs. What purpose do you think that served? Did it maybe get rid of some of the nervous energy or get you psyched up? What would you say?
I think it's really getting rid of the nervous energy, you know, because when I'm preparing for a speech and I'm usually much more subdued in that environment. This happened to be an event where it was all ladies and they were all going to be dressed well, and I was dressed very well and feeling a little stuffy about that. So by turning on a country station and just singing as loud as I could where no one had to hear me because I was in the car, yeah, I think it just released a lot of that tension that had built up and brought me back to ground zero a little better.
Right.
Gotcha.
That makes sense.
You didn't have the windows open when you were singing, did you, Karen?
No.
Karen, I know another big key for you was trying to get the focus off of yourself and put the focus on the audience. And you did that in a very practical way by beginning to put yourself out there and start interacting with your audience before you even hit the stage. Do you want to share a little bit about that process?
Yes, I found this to be really a helpful technique for myself, and on that particular day, it really was valuable because of the stage fright. What I did that day was I positioned myself at the very end of the registration table. I didn't want to interfere with the registration process, but as each guest checked in, I introduced myself as the keynote speaker, and then I welcomed them to the event. And what most people will do when you do that was say something like, I so need to hear what you have to say. And that in itself is such a huge confidence builder. Mm. And then I would ask them a little bit about their own situation. And so by the time I went on stage, I felt that I really knew some of them and what they needed from me in that presentation.
Hey, Karen, what would you say to the people who still believe that, or maybe they just learned this technique from someone, that you should separate yourself from the audience? You are the speaker. You are the star of the show, so you should remain separate and then come out and have like this grand entrance?
Well, I think that's probably appropriate in some cases, because what I talk about is so personal with family caregiving. I think it works better for me to make that connection with the audience early on. Mm-hmm. But I would have to caution people as well that using this technique can be detrimental in some ways, because if it's a large audience like it was that day, you can use up some of your voice before you actually go on stage. So I think you have to be very careful how you handle that.
Right. I think there are two keys in what you just shared about being at the registration table and grading the guests as they started to arrive. One is that I think you took yourself from a performance mentality into a service-oriented mentality, where you weren't so worried about yourself. You were starting to, you know, learn about the other people and what their needs are and reach out to them. And that little shift puts you in maybe just a healthier standpoint for taking the stage. But the other thing is, we've all, I think, heard the advice, if you've ever done any professional speaking, about greeting your audience beforehand. And the thought of just standing by the door and pouncing on people as they walk in the room always seemed to me a little bit unnerving. But by putting yourself right at the registration table, I think it just kind of broke down that barrier. It made it seem like you're supposed to be there. And again, helped you be part of sort of the service team welcoming people in.
Yeah, so. I think it made me feel like about I was connecting with the audience before I actually hit the stage, and that they were connecting more with me.
Right. Very good. Now, I alluded earlier to Bo's experience of getting a bout of stage fright that was onset in the midst of his presentation. Has that ever happened to you before, Karen? And if not, how would you recommend, just based on your experience, other people might deal with that in the moment?
It has actually happened to me. My presentations, as I said, are very personal because I talk a lot about my own family illnesses and deaths. And once in a while, a sentence that I've been saying for years will just suddenly catch in my throat and take me by surprise. When this happens, what I do is I just pause for a moment, take a deep breath, and collect my thoughts, and then go on. And I think that speakers often underestimate how valuable pauses can be in that situation as well as others.
So am I understanding you correctly? Do you mean you're talking about almost getting choked up in the emotion of what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my problem always tends to be not getting choked up in the emotion, but just my mind goes on a tangent and I start thinking that I'm actually standing here speaking to a bunch of people. And that's all I'm thinking about. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what if I mess up? what if I forget the next line? What's going to happen? And then, of course, that's where you go in the downward spiral.
Well, then that again is a good place where you can, if you can just pause and realize that it's okay to pause,
right?
You know, and collect your thoughts and then move on from there.
Yeah. It's the whole focus thing and concentrating. You know, I always wondered if like meditation would help with that, you know, or just like focusing on something, just focusing on a dot and just try to keep your focus on an object in the room, if that's a good practice for keeping your focus on the speech instead of on the message you're delivering, I should say, instead of on the fact that you're delivering the message.
Yeah, I think that's probably a useful technique.
Hey, Bo, by the way, if I'm thinking of the same circumstance as you were giving the speech, you had a pretty creative way of dealing with the stage fright. Do you want to share that briefly?
Well, are we talking about getting the water, getting the drink?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I couldn't talk because my mouth was completely dry. So there was no water nearby, so somebody actually had to go get me some water, and it was just like the most uncomfortable 30 seconds of my entire life, standing there, my mouth not being able to move because it was glued shut. But then after, was there a punchline to this, Ryan? I forget. There's so many stories. I'm wondering if you're thinking of something else.
Maybe I'm thinking of another Bo Bennett stage fright.
Oh, okay. Yes, you are.
Didn't you actually run out of the room?
Okay. This was a completely different one. When I actually did run out of the room because I couldn't talk anymore, I got a drink. There was a water fountain right there. And then I came back and I incorporated that into my speech, saying, well, this is what's going to happen, you know, and I just made it so like running out of the room was part of the speech and people liked it and enjoyed it. But I just dodged the bullet on that one, but it was a temporary fix at best. I don't recommend it.
Right. And speaking of, Karen, for people who maybe could be a little bit more proactive in, I guess, taking the appropriate precautions ahead of time so that they don't get blindsided by a bout of stage fright, what are some things speakers can do to prepare themselves so that they'll be less likely to have these unfortunate experiences?
Well, Ryan, I think the best advice that I could give any speaker is to speak at every opportunity that you have. Do speeches, do table topics, do toasts, do eulogies, because the more you speak, the more comfortable you become, and you'll be better prepared to handle the stage fright when it does come your way. Now, you want to take those obvious precautions like staying away from caffeine and dairy products and having water nearby, as Bo just demonstrated.
Yes.
But the main thing is to always be completely rehearsed. That's the best advice I could give you.
Right. Yeah, and back to the water thing, I found this so many times. When my mouth starts getting dry, I start thinking about the fact that it gets dry. And I start worrying, like, what happens if it gets so dry like it did those few times before when I can't speak anymore? And if I start going down that spiral, I'm in big trouble. So all I do is when I feel my mouth starting to get a little bit dry, I take a sip of water, and I'm fine. That completely goes away. I mean, that did the trick for me. That was my way out, and it hasn't happened since. Knock on desk. Not that it never will, but who knows? I also found that notes help me. Karen, do you use notes? And if so, what kind of notes do you use when you speak?
I do use notes. I have a program that I actually do handouts, and I have the main bullets that I'm going to be talking about on the handouts, and I give pens out so that people can take notes for themselves if they want to.
Right.
And I find that works really well for me to follow that, to make sure that I'm staying on track as well. I don't see anything wrong with using notes in your presentations. I think it's better to do that than to leave out a key point and not realize it until the presentation is over.
Amen.
Right, sure. I think even just psychologically having the notes up at the podium or the lectern, even if you're not using them,
exactly,
gives you a sense of security that, hey, if my mind goes blank, all I need to do is pause for 5 seconds and boom, I'll be right back on it.
It's your little safety blanket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Karen, I understand you have a website as part of your speaking business. Do you want to share our listeners a little bit about where they can find more about you?
Oh, sure. If you'd like to contact me in any way, I have a website that is www.caregiversjourney.com, and it tells you about my speaking and my books that I have available on the topic of family caregiving.
Great.
Fantastic. Well, Karen, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with us today.
It's been wonderful.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks very much for inviting me, guys.
All right. You take care.
All right.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
All righty. Well, that was great. It was a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
It's always good to know that we're not alone in this thing we call speaking.
Right.
When we make mistakes and we crash and burn. It's good to know that even professionals such as Karen experience this as well. And it's even better to know that they have techniques that could help them out of this and that they could suggest.
Right.
And that's
right. And just to reemphasize something she said, I mean, it all comes down to practice. Just putting yourself in that speaking situation over and over and over again is going to go a long way to just making it a more enjoyable experience for you.
Indeed. All right, Ryan, I heard we got some listener feedback.
Yes, indeed. We have a message from Sharon. Sharon writes in reference to our February 11th podcast. She says, "This was my first podcast, and I truly enjoyed listening to what was said. It was quite inspirational. Sometimes the topics in the advanced manuals make it difficult to be inspired. However, using examples from my everyday life, as you suggested, would definitely make a difference. Thanks again. I will look forward to past podcasts and look forward to future ones." Sharon from Triad Toastmasters in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Well, thank you, Sharon. We love to hear from our listeners. And if you want to send us some feedback on any of the podcasts that we've done or this podcast, we'd love to hear from you. You could send an email to podcast@toastmasters.org, or they can give us a call, can't they, Ryan?
Yes, you can call our listener feedback voicemail line at 1-888-451-8862.
And I heard we're on that Twitter thing.
Oh, yes, indeed. At the TM Podcast, twitter.com/the TM Podcast.
That's righty. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening in. My name is Bo Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
We'll see you next time on the Toastmasters Podcast. Bye-bye, everybody.
See ya.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.